Galatians chapter 1. We began last week our walk through the book of Galatians, and we saw right away that the Apostle Paul comes to the church in Galatia with this letter with a warning. Right off of the bat, he tells them that he is concerned for them because they have been tempted to hold on to what he calls another gospel, which he clarifies in the next verse is not really another gospel. In fact, it's no gospel at all. This church, as can happen to any church, slides away from what is the authentic, true gospel. Let me just say a word just a second here. That if you are a church, a true church, a church that is made up of the saints, those who have been saved, redeemed, called by the Lord, those who have been given the right to become the children of God, if we are going to gather together, let me tell you where the enemy will attack us. And it is on the truth that we teach. That we have an enemy that does not want the truth of God's Word to be taught. Why? Because that's where the power is. He does not want our lives to accurately reflect God's character. He does not want what we teach and what we live to add up. He does not want that. And so we can expect battle. We can expect temptation. We can expect trials. We can expect attack at every single one of those levels. But we cannot be surprised that in the mix of all the things that life throws at us, that there will not be the temptation to slide off of the authentic truth of the gospel. We saw last week the Apostle Paul, look with me at verse 4. He gives us the clear, authentic gospel. Verse 4. Christ gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God the Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Here's what's happening. The Apostle Paul doesn't describe for us, he doesn't give us any indication about what this other gospel might look like, but he gives us a very clear description of the authentic gospel, so that Christ gave himself for our sin. That any attempt, that any thought that says I can get out of my sin without Christ taking it is not the gospel. That any idea that I can learn a few lessons or follow a few rules or in any way get away from my sin apart from Christ taking it is not the gospel. Any thought or any idea that says I can escape being a part of this present age without it being Jesus who rescues me. Any idea that I can in some way change my life to go from being a sinner, part of this present evil age, to being anything but that, apart from Jesus rescuing me out of that. That is not the gospel. That's a different gospel. So we have to know, what is the gospel? The gospel is what Jesus has done for us. That he gave himself to take my sin. That he rescues me from this present evil age. That's the truth that saves us. We got to know that. Now, the Apostle Paul adds incredible significance to that by saying that anybody who preaches something other than that, even if it is an angel from heaven, or if it is Paul himself, anybody who tries to depart from what has been given to us, they are to be accursed. And he repeats it. They are to be accursed. That's how serious this is. Now, at verse 10, Paul makes a transition. He's told us the warning. He's given us the clear presentation in verse 4 of the gospel. Now in verse 10, what he's going to do is he is now going to present himself. Why is it that the Apostle Paul should be trusted as a clear presenter of the gospel of Christ? What makes him credible? Or what makes what he has given credible? And listen, here's where this is going. As the Apostle Paul describes what makes his ministry and his message credible, we are meant to understand that the same is true for us. How will we know? If my life as a bondservant of Christ has the credibility and the power of the Lord, how will we know that I am being the servant of the Lord that He wants me to be? How will others recognize me as a servant of the Lord? This is an important question. Because I will tell you, there are a lot of people out there that we should be suspect of. And there might even be people out there that are suspect of us. What is it that we look for? Verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? Here's the first thing that Paul mentions. He mentions his motivation. Paul appeals to them at the level of what motivates Paul to do what he is doing, and that is to preach the gospel. How do we know that Paul is a true servant of the Lord? And Paul says right off the bat, he says, first thing you ought to notice about me is that I am not attempting to please people. What I am attempting to do, what my motivation is, what my desire is to simply be pleasing to the Lord. Now, what connection does that have with being careful about a different gospel? Here's what happens. Paul is saying very clearly that as he communicates the gospel, his only desire is to communicate the gospel in such a way that it is faithful and pleasing to the Lord who gave him the gospel. There is the temptation, though, to present the gospel in a way that would be pleasing to people, that would just make perfect sense to people, that would present the gospel in such a way that everybody who hears it will obviously love it. I want to take the gospel and I want to kind of mold it a little bit and shape it a little bit so that everybody who hears it, man, it will be pleasing to them and they'll believe it just because of the way I present it. It's so pleasing to them. Paul says, listen, the reason you know that I am a servant of the Lord is because I am not doing that. My goal as I preach the gospel is simply to be faithful with the gospel that I have been given. And Paul says, listen, the fact of the matter is the gospel is that Jesus came to take our sin. Well, you say, well, people don't want to hear about their sin. Well, okay, if you tell them their sin, you got to give them an out. You got to tell people, well, they shouldn't feel so bad for themselves. I heard that this week, by the way. By somebody who was claiming to present the gospel. You can't tell people, you got to give them an out. You got to let them know that they don't have to feel so bad about themselves. You know what? Our sin is terrible. Jesus had to give himself to take away our sin. You do anything to diminish that truth, it's not the gospel. So Paul is saying, first of all, my motivation, I just want to accurately, faithfully, in a way that pleases the Lord, present the gospel in a way that pleases Him, not in a way that's going to please the people that I'm speaking to. Number one. The message that Paul preaches, and listen, this is not just about Paul, this is about us. the truth that we share, the truth that we share with each other and with people around us, the truth that we share, the only way to make sure that we are being a true servant and presenting the authentic gospel, the only way that we know for sure is to examine our own hearts and to know within our hearts, listen, my goal is to faithfully communicate the gospel, faithfully to the Lord. Regardless how everybody responds to it or what they think of it, I want to be faithful to the Lord in the way that I communicate the gospel. You guys see that? Let's keep going. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Verse 11. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, so Paul says here, he says, not only is my desire just to be faithful to the Lord in the way that I communicate the gospel, but he says, you need to know that what I am communicating, it didn't come from any man. In fact, no man would have thought about it. Why? You know what? Because the gospel that we preach, it doesn't really even make sense to men. The idea that Jesus gave himself to take our sin, we cannot even comprehend why he would want to do that. Why the Father would give his Son. This is not according to men. So what Paul is saying is the reason you can trust the gospel that he's preaching, how you know the gospel that is being taught is authentic, how you know the gospel that I am communicating and that we communicate with each other and with other people, how do you know it's authentic? Do you know how you know? The source. That it is not something you heard on the radio. It is something that comes straight. Now, Paul was able to say he got it straight from the Lord. We can say the same thing, but in a different way from Paul. Where do we get it? Right here. So we have to be able to say, and listen, let me give you an example right here. One of the things that I love and so appreciate about the legacy that Billy Graham leaves. Do you know what Billy Graham said? Every time he got in front of a crowd, Billy Graham would say, the Bible says. It wasn't I think. He wasn't quoting somebody else. He would start by clarifying the source. The Bible says. That's the only hope that we have, y'all. That's the only thing that we have that adds any credibility at all to our message. That it does not come from me or from anybody else. The Bible says this. Now, let's stop right here for just a second because Paul is warning us about sliding away from that. So let me tell you what happens. Let me show you how this might happen in our lives. If we are talking about the truth of Scripture, then we've got to make sure that we're communicating that this truth is truth because it comes from Scripture. You can't say, or at least you shouldn't say, y'all forgive me for this, because I love this man, but I can't get up here and preach and say, you know, David Jeremiah said this morning, and make that the claim that it's truth. If it's true, it's not true because David Jeremiah said it. Now, David Jeremiah's been a huge impact on my life. David Jeremiah preaches the gospel. But you know why? If David Jeremiah said it and it's true, the reason it's true is because the Bible says it. So we don't give credit to David Jeremiah. There is a movie here recently. And listen, you got to understand what I'm saying here. We've got to be so careful with this. There's a movie here recently. It was not very well acclaimed, but it was a Christian movie. And within the movie, a man comes to know Christ. And in the movie, he comes to become a Christian. I would argue a little bit of some of what happens in the movie. But the man becomes a Christian because he reads Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Now listen, Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, there might be some truth in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I'm not necessarily sure that would be the first book that I would give somebody, but I've read it and there's some good stuff in there. But anything true that's in that book, it's not true because Rick Warren wrote it. You guys see the difference? If it's true, then we have got to clarify the source. It's true because God said it. The gospel didn't come from any man. The gospel doesn't come because of what Billy Graham says. The gospel comes because God said. And so we've got to be careful. When we think about the gospel, our goal, our desire, is we want to be faithful to the Lord and His truth. That's our desire. Not to please men, but to be faithful to the Lord. And then we need to clarify where the source is coming from. The source of what we share and the source of what we know and the source of what we live, it is God's Word, not ours, not Billy Graham's, not anybody else. And it sure isn't true because it makes sense to me. That's not why things are true. The gospel is true because God said it. Now here's the catch. Let me just preach for just a second. Here's the catch. How are you going to know what is true if you yourself have not gone to the source? How are you going to know what is true if the truth from God's Word has not been poured into you? Because the gospel comes not from anybody else, not from any other person. The gospel comes from God's Word. Now, let's keep going. I'm telling you. Verse 13. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Now, let's stop right there. Let me tell you where Paul is going next. How do we know that Paul is a true servant of the Lord and that the gospel that Paul is preaching is authentic? What are the catches here? His desire to be faithful to the Lord, the source of what he is preaching, that it is from the gospel. And then number three, it is the testimony of his own life. What happened to Paul? Paul, he says, you know who I used to be. You know that I used to be a persecutor of the church. You know that I used to try to destroy the church. And there's an interesting little phrase here that we have to note. I want you to watch this. He says the reason he did all of that was so that, or was because, at the end of verse 14, because he was extremely zealous for his ancestral traditions. Now let's think about this for just a second. The Apostle Paul, a persecutor of the church, a destroyer of the church, but completely obedient to his mama. Yes, he was. His mama would have been so proud of him. Paul was not a rebel. Paul was being faithful to what he had been taught. But look what had to happen. Verse 15. But when God, who set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me. Man, what happened, Paul? What changed your life? Paul says, let me tell you, God, who, why and how, I don't know, but God set me apart even before I was born. God called me by His grace, and God revealed His Son in me. One of the reasons that the Apostle Paul gives as a credibility note for his ministry and for his gospel is the truth of his own life. Here's what's happening. Paul doesn't give the reason for what happened in his life as anything that came from himself or from any other man. This is what God has done. What I am giving you is faithful to the Lord. What I am giving you is what God has given to me, and who I am, just in general, who I am is what God has made me to be. That is the reason why you trust somebody. That is the reason why their message would be authentic. Because it is what God has done. Now, here's what's happening. And let me help you here. I want you to notice a couple of things about what Paul says about himself, specifically his testimony. Go back to verse 15 again. But God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me. Now let's just notice for just a second. When we talk about calling me by His grace, Paul was a sinner. Paul was full of sin. In fact, he chronicles full of sin. But what had to happen was grace. God had in His grace to call His name and forgive Him of His sins. But it's not just that. What had to happen was that the Lord was pleased to reveal His Son in Paul's life. Do you know what happens when we get saved? The very second that Jesus takes our sin and rescues us, the very second that happens, what it is that God has called us, and God, this is where we miss it, God has put the life of His Son in us. Do you know that salvation is not just the forgiveness of sins? Salvation is new life. That God takes our sins, rescues us out of where we were, and the life of Christ comes in. Nicodemus, what you need is to be born again. You need a new life, and I can give that to you. Paul says, man, God called my name, and God put the life of His Son in me. It wasn't there before, but He put the life of His Son in me. Now let me ask you a question. Is that how you would describe what happened to you when you got saved? When God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me. Is that how you would describe it? Let me stop right there for just a second and let me tell you the temptation that you would fall into. The temptation is to talk less about what God did and more about what I did. I did this on the night that I... You see how that happens? But Paul says, wait a minute. When I talk about what has happened in my life, what I'm talking about is what God did. Now you say, well, where's faith? Paul doesn't mention anything about faith in that verse. That's exactly right. He does not. But that doesn't mean that Paul doesn't preach faith. Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16. Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas, they've been singing in the cell, and earthquake, cell breaks open. Philippian jailer is going to die. He's going to kill himself because everybody's loose. Paul says, wait, don't stop. Don't kill yourself. The Philippian jailer says to Paul, he says, sir, what must I do to be saved? You know what Paul says? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The message that Paul preached was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you say, well, wait a minute, isn't Paul telling that man what he ought to do? Yes, he is. That's the gospel that we preach. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is the message that we preach to those who are not saved. It is. Because that's what God gave us to preach. But on the flip side, now that we are saved, when we look back and we talk about what happened, we don't talk about what I did. We talk about what God did. We say, well, that's inconsistent. How can that be? How can you preach a message that says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but then on the flip side, when you talk about what has happened in the past, you're only talking about what God does? We're going to ask the Lord that when we get there. But I know that both of those are true. How does somebody come to know Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Why was I saved? Jesus gave himself for my sin and rescued me out of the present evil age. That is the answer. The both are absolutely true. Here's the problem we get into. When we look back and we look at what happened in my life past tense and I start talking about what I did, that's a problem. We talk about what Jesus did and what God did. And Paul was just following his ancestral traditions. And you know what? Here's the truth. It might be that your mama raised you right. Maybe she did. And you know what? Man, the influence of parents is incredible. And praise God for moms and dads who share the gospel with their children and then disciple their children after they come to know the Lord. Oh man, praise God for parents. But you know what? When you grow up, don't give your mama the credit for your salvation. Jesus did that. Now, did Jesus use her? Absolutely. But point people to Christ and what he did. Here's the Apostle Paul. Don't fall in to another gospel. Here's how you know. My desire is simply to be faithful to the gospel that God has given. I want to please the Lord. I don't want to make it sound good so that people will accept it. I want to be accurate and faithful in the way that I present the gospel and think about the gospel. The source of what I am communicating is not from my thought or anybody else's thought. The source that I'm communicating, the Bible says. And the life that I am living, man, you got to understand, Chad Brady, it was not Chad Brady who made me like this. It was only Jesus. It's not Chad Brady. I am telling you, if you knew the natural Chad Brady, I've shared this with you before. If you knew the natural Chad Brady, you wouldn't like him very much. But God, who somehow knew me before I was born, called me by His grace, revealed His Son in my life. I don't even understand how or why that happened, but that's what He did. And is still revealing His Son through me as He molds me and shapes me. But listen, maybe it is that you think about what happened in your life, and maybe the only thing you can think about is something that you have done. And maybe the only thing that comes to your mind are decisions that you've made. And for the longest time, you've thought, well, you know, I just kind of fell into this. No. No, this is what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus did. And maybe it is that you need to come to the place where you recognize, you know what, I'm incapable of making the decisions that would be required. I'm incapable of measuring up. I'm incapable of doing enough good. I'm incapable of taking the right steps. Why? Because I've already blown it. I'm already a sinner. But I need Jesus. I need Jesus who gave Himself. I need Him to take my sin. And I need Him to rescue me. I need Him to call me by His grace. I need Him to put the life of His Son into mine where there was no life before. I need Jesus. And now you say, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You say, I don't even know how He could do that. I don't either. Believe Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Recognizing that only He can save you. Who gets the glory when we talk about what has happened and we point to Jesus? Who gets the glory? Jesus does. Last verse of the chapter. And they were glorifying God because of me. They were clapping Paul on the back for making the right decision and coming over to the right side. Good job, Paul. Man, I'm so glad you made that decision, Paul. Is that what was happening? You know what? Not one person slapped Paul on the back and said, man, I'm so glad that you realized that we weren't worth destroying. Paul would say, what? Holy smoke. No, you don't understand. That was Jesus. It was Jesus. And they were glorifying God because of Paul. Man, listen. That's what needs to happen here. People need to look at us. And they need to glorify God because of us. Not us. They don't need to glorify us or anything that we've done. They need to glorify God because of us, as we share the truth of the gospel. Father, God, I pray that You would help us, Lord, in our hearts to know what You have done, to praise You for what You have done. God, I pray that our love would reflect the magnitude of what You have done in our hearts and in our lives. Thank You for Jesus. God, I pray that You would use our lives. Father, I pray that You would use our church family. Pray that You would protect us. Father, that we would be faithful and pleasing to You in everything that we do and say, and that we would point men and women in our lost world, that we would point them to you and what you have done. Use us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you have never come to the place where you realized my sin